Okay, I think we handed out the notes for tonight. We are in the Ten Commandments. We've been in them off and on during the summer. Starting from the summer, it was our summer series, and it kind of spiraled out of control. And so we're finishing up here. We've looked at the first eight of the commandments, of course. As we mentioned on many occasions, these are God's moral codes. And they teach us biblical and Christian character, right and wrong, and it's something that is desperately needed in our society today. There is, to be honest with you, it says the Bible says it's we're in a time where wrong is called right, and right is called wrong, and so it's good for us to understand what God says and how we should be. Okay, we said number one, God wants an exclusive relationship, not having other gods. Number two, God wants nothing to replace him, that's making graven images. We must have the ultimate respect for God, that's taking his name in vain. We must have respect for family, of course, honoring your father and your mother. We must have respect for life, that's murder. And then commandment seven, God commands moral purity, thou shalt not commit adultery. And then commandment eight, don't be willing to take that which isn't yours and that isn't ours and that which you haven't earned, thou shalt not steal. If anybody's going to steal, leave it up to the government. They're better at it, okay? Number nine, commandment number nine. Yeah, and they have the best collection agency in the world, IRS. Commandment number nine, be honest in your speech. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Okay, we call that lying. I read a story several years ago. There was a club in America. It was called the Liars Club. And they had members from 49 of the 50 states. The only state they didn't have a member from was Alabama. And all you had to do to join was send them a dollar with a good lie. This is back before email. And so a guy from Alabama found out that they were the only state that didn't have somebody represented. So he wrote them a letter and said, the reason there's no one in your liar club from Alabama is we don't lie in Alabama. So they sent him a letter back and said, you just got a free lifetime membership, okay? Everyone lies. They shouldn't. Every state lies. In our society, lying is just accepted as normal. We don't even bat an eye at it. It's like, oh, if you get caught, oh, what's the big deal? It's just a little lie. Remember President Clinton? I'm not looking to the future, hopefully. I don't even want to have to say that again. I probably won't. Bill, he lied under oath, okay? By the way, his wife is a liar too, just to let you know that. The emails and a whole lot more. Our athletes lie. By the way, most people live by the standard. If you lie loudly enough and long enough, people start to accept it as truth. Remember Pete Rose? He got banned for committing the number one rule in baseball, and it used to be it was in every dugout. The first rule they would get when they'd walk into their clubhouse was you cannot bet on baseball because of the 1919 scandal many years ago. Brother Jerry was there. What Pete Rose bet, not only bet on baseball, he bet on the team he was managing. Which he can kind of predict the outcome. And they came out and they found out. And for years, the commissioner was vilified. Baseball was vilified because he swore he never bet on baseball. Never bet on his team. And the commissioner, to be honest to me, was being a nice guy. I would have just threw everything out in public and say, read this. And then about 20-something years later, after all these years of denying it, he needed some money, so he wrote a book. And in the book, he confessed to lying, and so it was okay then because he wanted to make some money. But we just think lying is fine, and lying is not. Okay? The phrase, if you ain't lying, you ain't trying. Seems like we are naturally born. There's a verse in the Bible that we come from the womb lying, it's being deceitful. Can't quote it verbatim. But children, when they just naturally lie. When they're little, they get. Did you do that? We have one of them at our house, one of the grandkids. My wife's trying to potty train. It's a struggle. This one's struggling. So I'll come home from work. Hey, come here. They've been staying with us for a few days. Hey, did you go to the bathroom? Did you go, you know, this is my life, I guess. Did you go potty in the toilet today? The girls are like, no, she didn't. She messed up, okay? I remember, this is a funny story. The years ago, I don't know, how many of you remember the Lighthouse Christian Bookstore? I used to call it the Money Changers, but the Lighthouse Christian Bookstore. Many years ago, I was in there looking for a book. It was my wife and I, and we had Allison, and we had Jessica. Jessica was probably 3. Allison was probably about a year and a half old. And Allison started talking really well when she was very, very, very young. Right after 1 year old, she could start saying words. She was really good. And so we were in the Lighthouse, and they had this display. It was a big round, like, you know, the displays that'll spin and hold little things and you can pull it. It was a big one right in the middle of the floor there, and it was shaped like a huge pencil, and it had all these little tiny children's books in it. I mean, you know, all the way around there, and they could spin it. So we went to the bookstore. We got what we were going to get, and we were leaving. Now, I wasn't paying attention. My wife wasn't paying attention. Right when we got to the door to leave, I heard a bang. It was early too. There was nobody there. I look behind me. The pencil is now laying flat on the floor. Those little tiny books were everywhere. I'm standing at the door. My wife's standing at the door. One of my daughters, whose name rhymes with Jessica, she was standing at the door, and standing right in the middle of all the books was Allison, all by herself, a year and a half old. And I looked at her, and she said, because she was only like a year and a half, she goes, Jessica. Jessica, you're standing in the middle of the books, kid. My wife believed her, I didn't. Lying. There's a few statistics I read online. 91% of Americans say they lie regularly. Regularly. 1 in 5 admitted to lying daily. Just woven into our factories, the fabric of our society. Why do we talk about all these different commandments, lying and stealing? Look, you ever notice that when a person commits a sin, it's almost like they have to violate so many of God's commands. It's like one leads to another. You ever notice that? I was thinking, look at David and his sin with Bathsheba. Okay? Really, in essence, he broke the first commandment by putting himself before God, but if you don't want to give him that one, that's fine. He broke the 10th commandment, which we'll look at in a little bit, by coveting another man's wife. He broke this command by hatching a deceitful, deceptive plot to kill Uriah. He broke the 8th commandment by taking that which was not his. He broke the 7th commandment in committing adultery. He broke the 3rd in having Uriah killed. And he caused the 3rd one, which is taking God's name, to be broken by many by the enemies of God because they were blaspheming him because of what King David did. So when we break one, inevitably it'll always lead us down the road of breaking others. And so you look at a little one like lying and say, what's the big deal? Well, first of all, God said it's a big deal. God said it's a big deal. And secondly, it erodes in our character, and if we're not careful, it'll lead us down the road to many, many, many other sins. I think, I wonder how many relationships have been ruined because people just aren't truthful with each other. Not being honest. By the way, one of the worst things you can do in your marriage relationship is lie to each other. You know, I knew she wasn't going to agree with me doing that, so I just... lie. Okay? We just think it's a big deal. By the way, that breaks trust. You teenagers are like, man, why don't my parents trust me? There's 2 reasons for that. Number 1, maybe you've done something to make them not trust you. And number 2, you're a teenager. Of course we don't trust you. We were teenagers once too. It's not that we don't trust you. In that essence, we're trying to be safe for you. But I'll tell you one thing. If you're doing things that, and your parents catch you lying, they're not going to trust you, of course. But lying. Let me just give you a few thoughts about lying. This one ought to get you right here. Number 1, lying is the character trait of Satan. Lying is the character trait of Satan, the devil. John chapter 8, verse 44. This is not the soft-spoken, loving Jesus that most churches, that most Jesus have fantasized about, who doesn't exist. He is loving, but he also is very balanced. Look what he said. Ye are of your father, the devil. Well, he's not very loving. And the lust, which means desire, of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh it of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Think about that for a minute. If you look at Satan, the number one character trait about him and who he is a liar. He lies about everything. And people have been buying into it for years. Look at Genesis there, the verses in Genesis. This is when Satan first is on the scene. He first shows up in the pages of Scripture. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Lie. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, that your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Look at the lie. For he says, that's not true. God's not telling you the truth. And not only that, God's trying to hold out on you. God's trying to make you do what he wants you to do. And if you just disobey him, you can decide what is right and wrong for yourself. And he's been peddling that lie ever since. But he's a liar. I don't know about you. I don't want to be classified as having a character quality that Satan has. He's a liar and the father of all lies. Just learn to be truthful. It's always better. We're never more like the devil than when we resort to lying. Okay? Number two. Lying sets us up for a trap. Lying sets us up for a trap. And you say, what do you mean by that? Let me explain it to you. Once you tell a lie, you're going to have to continue to lie to keep it from being found out as being a lie. Someone has said, don't lie unless you have a really good memory. Really good memory. Because you're going to have to remember. It's easy to remember the things that really happened. But when you're making stuff up, things you said to somebody, and then they ask you about, oh, yeah, that's right. Okay? So it's a trap we get into. Now we have to continue to play that game. We don't want to do that. We get sucked into lying sometimes because the truth is sometimes inconvenient. And a lie is convenient. You're at work and you were supposed to do something. Or did this go on? It's convenient. Oh, yeah, I did that. Wouldn't it just be better to get out of the way and say, mess that one up? Unless your boss is a total, I don't know the word, jerk or idiot or whatever you want to call him. Maybe idiot's not a good word. You know, if you're honest, like, oh, you know what? I forgot. I didn't do that. Sorry. I won't let that happen again. They're going to be fine with it. But then you lie, and now you got to remember, and you got to follow the trail and all this nonsense. So really, when you lie, you're setting yourself up for a trap. You know? So go back to the husband and wife example. You spend money on something you shouldn't, or use a credit card somewhere you shouldn't. And now you say one thing, then you got to fight. Just let's be up honest and upfront with one another. Number three, the importance of truth. The truth is the reason a lie is so damaging because the truth is important. You know, the Bible is a book full of God's truth. We're saved and we understand what God wants because of the truth. Satan tries to throw us off of that by getting us to believe his lies. So what a lie is really a direct affront to the truth. And so we need to be very careful about that. But the importance of truth, letter A, it is seen in Scripture. That is seen in Scripture. All in Scripture, lying is condemned. Zechariah 8:16. These are the things that ye shall do. Speak ye every man the truth to his neighbor, execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates. 3 John 12, Demetrius hath a good report of all men and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record and know that our record is true. Wouldn't it be nice to have that, when someone thinks of you, they think there's a person that always tries to be truthful and upfront and honest. You say, well, I'll be different. Can I tell you something? Anywhere you work, that's the kind of employee you would, they would want. Yeah. Well, I'm a goody two-shoes. Be a goody two-shoes. By the way, this isn't even the notes. I'll throw it in. Never lie for somebody else. You know, if someone asks, could you tell them this? No. Oh, come on, man. I thought you were a brother. I am a brother. But I ain't lying for you. Oh, I thought we were buddies. I am your buddy, but I'm God's buddy more. Don't do that. Sometimes your relatives may pressure on you to do things that you know aren't right, but or you don't want to do, but you know, after all, it's family. No. It's wrong. They may get upset at you, but at least they'll know deep in their hearts that there's someone, if they really need to know the truth, you'll shoot it to them. It's very important that we be truthful. Proverbs 14:5, a faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. A true witness delivereth souls, but a deceitful witness speaketh lies. Proverbs 14:25. So it's against everything in the scripture. You know, how many, if you're in the one-by-one soul winning class, we're learning, Brother Pichardo's teaching, doing a great job, but they're learning how to share the gospel. When you're sharing the gospel, we always use the verse in Revelation, but the fearful, the unbelieving, murderers, whoremongers, adulterers, sorcerers, and all these lists of bad people, and then it gets to the end and it says, and all liars. You know, you read that, whenever I witness somebody, I'll share that verse with them, and I'll say, man, that's a bunch of bad things, isn't it? And it says, but what's that one right there, liar? You know what liar is? That catches everybody. Yeah. But it also tells you what God thinks about it, because it's keeping really bad company. Okay? It's a sin. And it's wrong, and we need to be truthful. So it's seen in Scripture. Secondly, it is seen in God's character. It is seen in God's character. Our need to speak the truth, really, if you think about it, it's rooted in the character of God, because truth is who God is. Holy and right. And God would never, listen, the reason we can have the utmost confidence and place our eternity in what in Christ is because it's all dictated right here in God's word, which is his truth. If God wasn't truthful, then we would be in a heap of trouble. Okay? So it's rooted in God's character. It is who he is. Everything he does, all that he says, all that he reveals, all the acts that he performs are words and deeds and acts of truth. Think about why Jesus Christ had to come die for our sin. Because the wages of sin is death. Sin must be punished, or else God would be a liar and he would not be just. To say this is what sin needs to be dealt with, but it's like, you know, I'll let you slide. It was a preacher. He's I don't even know if he believes in God anymore, but he was big and he wrote a book. He was a pastor and he quit pastoring. He wrote a book, Love Wins. It says basically the bottom line is because of God's love, eventually everybody's going to make it to heaven. No, they're not. If God let us into heaven without trusting Christ in our sin, God would not be just. And he wouldn't be true. It's not like our judicial system, where we're always trying to find ways to skirt around people's punishment, punish the wrong ones. Okay? God is just. By the way, because he was just, that's why Christ came, to fulfill that payment. God's not letting us slide. He just paid it on our behalf. Okay? But just think, it's true, because God always sticks with his truth. That's his character. And if we're Christians and we're going to be like Christ and we're going to be like God, then we ought to exhibit some. Now, are we perfect? No, but we ought to exhibit those qualities that God exhibits. John 14:6, Jesus said unto them, I am the way. What's the second one? The truth. He doesn't just possess the truth. He doesn't just tell us the truth. The truth is who he is. And so because of that, we can trust him. When we lie as Christians, we misrepresent him. Because our society has denied the truth and the existence of truth, it is not morally wrong to say what we want, even if it is not truth. See, our society has switched to what we call postmodernism, which means really truth is relative. Truth is whatever you think it is, whatever you decide it is. By the way, where did that come from? Satan. What did he tell Eve? Ye shall be as gods, knowing, which means deciding good and evil. It says, you'll be your own God. You decide what's right. You decide what's wrong. We've now repackaged that, and we've thrown it into our colleges, and we have a whole generation that's caught up. Well, that's true and right for me. And everybody has a right to believe what they want, however they want, except for Christians. That's where we're going to. But we need to be truthful. Lying eats into that. Everywhere you go, people blend the truth with lies. It's so bad. Someone wrote a biography of a guy named Edmund Morris wrote a biography of Ronald Reagan. He admitted that in this, he presents it as a biography, but in it he admitted that he mixed in true stories with false stories that he just made up to make the book better. But he presents it as a true biography. That's where we're at. You know, let's just spice it up a little bit. Then it's not true. Let's stick with the truth. Most of us do that in our life, and that's unfortunate. Number four, what are forms of lying? Let me give you a couple forms of lying before we move on to number 10. Here's one. Not giving all the information. Not giving all the information. For instance, when I was younger, thank you. And I'm still much younger than you, though, by the way. When I was younger, my mom, we didn't have cell phones or any of those things, but, and I used to go places, my mom would freak out if she knew I was doing things she would not have approved. But I always told her where I was. Now, what she didn't know is when I was telling her where I was, what I meant by that is that's where I was eventually going to end up, right? Maybe on Friday night. What are you doing tonight? I'm going to Robert's garage, Bible study. She wouldn't want me hanging around Robert anyhow. I'm just kidding. So I'm going to go to Robert's house. I've done that a few times. Now, she didn't know I'd get to Robert's house, but 4 hours before that, I was here, there, 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 and there. I didn't tell her the other places I went. But was I being truthful? Because I was going to Robert's house. But when she said, where are you going, she meant, where are you going to be from the time you leave here until the time you get back? I didn't want her to know that. Okay? That's deceitful. That's lying. People are asking you a straight question, and you need to give them all the information, and you just kind of give them I didn't technically lie. I just didn't throw that in. You know what they meant. Yeah. Now, sometimes people ask you things, and they're not your boss, and it's like, hey, it's none of your business. Sometimes people ask you, things straight up, and it's like it's something they don't need to know. Well, just because they ask me, I have to be truthful. No. You don't need to tell them. Say, I'm sorry. That's none of your business. But not giving all the information. Next. Of course, this is just a common sense one, saying something that's not true. And then the next thing is saying something about somebody that is not true. How often do we do that? All the time. And by the way, whenever there's a conflict between people and one person's talking about that to somebody else, it's almost always going to be exaggerated a little, right? Yeah. Many years ago, I used to be the singles teacher and all that, so we had all the singles in the church, and the pastor's like, we're going to take your Sunday school class, we're going to split it into three singles classes, and you and your wife are going to go, have a couple Sunday school class. I'm like, okay. To me, that sounded easier. You know, one visit, two people. There you go. Singles, they were all over the map. So we got these prospects, and we're going to start our class, and we're visiting them. And so brand new for us. So first one, we went to a house, and the lady was home, not the man. And how you guys doing? And she told us. She told us a lot more than we wanted. And we said, Maggie, just kidding, don't talk about Oscar like that. And, I mean, she laid him out. I mean, when I left, I'm like, that guy should be in jail for a really long time. And then we went to another house, and there was this, only one was home there. And guess what happened there? Same thing. So after the second visit, we got in the car to leave. I told my wife, I said, look, this is new for us. We're usually working with singles. I said, so let me just explain how this works. Their other spouse is not as bad as they're making it sound out. We're only hearing one side of the motion of the story, and there's a lot of emotion involved. Let's be very careful what we say. There's a situation of, well, you know, we embellish it. You know what embellish means? I don't even know what nationality. It's Greek for lie. Okay? It's just, it's saying things that aren't true. Stay with the facts. Someone said this, I lay it as a fact that if all men knew what others said of them, there would not be four friends in the world. I wonder if there'd even be four. Let's be very careful. Honesty is very vital to the functioning of a society. Society cannot function without truth. It just can't. There has to be foundational truth. Our society is falling apart because there is no truth. We used to try to follow the principles of our Constitution, the laws of the land that were laid out by our founding fathers, but unfortunately, we've had a president the last 8 years who thinks that he's above the law. And we have another one that wants to get in there that thinks she's above the law. Okay, and above following the laws of the land. When something goes before the Supreme Court, instead of judging it constitutionally, they go by their feelings. How can we change this to make it the way we want it? So we're in a lot of trouble. But let me say this. We are Christians. It shouldn't be that way with us. Amen. People may not, and don't, by the way, never be rude to somebody. Never be rude to somebody in the name of Christ. Just be who you are. And there's some people that just because you're a Christian, they're not going to like it. Tough for them. But on our end, let us be a good representation of Jesus Christ. And one way we do that is let's be truthful in everything that we do. You're not truthful at work if you don't work hard. You're not being truthful at work if you get behind your boss's back. I don't know when that works at the church does this. You get behind your boss's back and you cut them down like all the other people in the office do. By the way, anybody can cut somebody down. And a lot of times when you do that, you're adding stuff that's not really true. But let's be Christians in everything that we do. Let's make sure our children know that, look, the truth is the truth. Let's stick with the truth. You just tell the truth. I don't care what anybody else does. It would be unbelievable to me that people would think that it'd be a good idea to go ahead and lie. But I read this story. There was a magazine entitled Child. It's about children. They published an article. It was titled The Truth About Lying. Here's what it said. The old view, lying, like other issues of other morality, was seen only in black and white. Children were taught that all lying was bad, deserving of strict punishment, and frequently reminded that lying will make your nose grow as long as Pinocchio's. I don't believe the last part, but the rest of it, I believe. Here's the new view, according to them. Today, some lying is considered not justified. Here's the word that they used, normal. Normal. They say, in fact, a child's first few lies are seen as an important step in the development of the self. Now, I don't know who wrote that, and they may have 12 degrees behind their name, but that's ridiculous. It is not. It is a step to development and growth if the parents show them when they lie that that's not going to be tolerated. Then it's a really good step to self. We don't do that anymore. Oh, you know, by the way, parents, when your little Oswald comes home, I'll just throw this in, the Spirit must have gave me utterance. When your little Oswald comes home and says, my school teacher is being mean to you, you might not want to buy into that all the time. Do you know your little Oswald lies? And little Oswalina? Okay? Look, that doesn't fly at our house. Now, if they came and said something, say, garbage. I may check on it. But can I just tell you something? You know what happens? We just live in this little society where the kids, no wonder the kids lie. You know, my teacher was mean and did this, and we come running in. Hey, how dare you talk to my kid? You don't have any of the facts. You haven't checked the story. You didn't realize little Oswald blew it out of proportion. And little Oswald now says, I can get what I want by going home and lying to my parents. You're ruining them. Little Oswald comes home and says, be quiet. Well, that was unjust. There was probably four other things you did that was just. Now, if they come home and their head split open, they said the teacher hit them with a baseball bat, check that one out, okay? You know what I'm talking about. You know, well, the reason I got a bad grade is my teacher doesn't like me. No, you probably didn't study. Why don't we get the facts? Don't teach them that lying is okay. You want them on the development of self? Then teach them that stuff doesn't work. I don't know why we got off on that one. All right, let's pray.